Welcome, welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. I always like to let that sink in. This is my favorite thing on the podcast. And today is special because we are having another passport series. I always like talking about the passport series because this is my way of collecting different stories of my Susie sisters, professors around the world. Keyword, professors around the world. Today is also special because then our guest is one of the people I connected with during the program when we're in DC. DC will always be my highlight of 2023 because you're just going like, oh, the conspiracy, everything they said in the movies was right. You could just smell it. She and I really had like different topics and deep conversations about several challenges around the world. I don't know if she knows that because we had like this vulnerable moment when we were talking about abuse and just violence against young women and girls around the world, especially in Africa. So yeah, I was so excited to kind of have her on this podcast, and I'm so glad our schedules align and she's here. So with no further ado, welcome. Hi, Beth Carter.
Hi, Aka. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for jumping on board. It's been a while since we had a call. But when I left DC, you said, Aka, any single time you can reach out. And I was like, well, it's the right time to reach out to Beth.
But I've been following your work on LinkedIn. You post so many things. So I love seeing what you've been up to for the last year.
Do I? If you're on my Facebook, you'd actually, so the other professors are on my Facebook more. They actually would say LinkedIn isn't doing the most. My Instagram, actually not Facebook, but my Instagram is the busiest app.
I'll have to add you. You know, the only reason I have an Instagram is because of my Susie girls.
They're like, yes.
Oh, Instagram, you have to be there. So I think I've only posted one or two photos, but I love seeing all their stuff. So I'll look for you on Instagram. My Instagram is very boring, but I would love to see yours.
But how have you been doing?
Oh, good. For the last year, it's hard to sum up a whole year in a few sentences, but good. The Susie program, you know, the big event is in the summer, but we do work on it the whole year. And we are always meeting with our Women's Global Leadership Consortium together every couple of weeks. So we're always working to make the program better. You know, what can we do more of? What can we do to make it better or a difference every year? So that is always happening. Also at Green River College, I'm the advisor for students in the intensive English program. So these are students who they want to get a degree here in the U.S., but they don't have English proficiency yet. So they come here through our program, and then they typically stay at Green River for 2 years and then transfer to a four-year university to finish their degree. So I'm busy with them all the time. Sometimes we have other short-term programs who come through campus that I work with. So I feel like in higher education, there's never a dull moment. There's always students and things happening on campus. Green River College is a community college, but we do have a few four-year programs. So there's a lot of students here, not just in my program, but pursuing different kinds of degrees for different reasons. And it's a really fun place to work. I get to work with some amazing people here in international programs and also with my students. So yeah, it's a good time. This is a fun place to work. You should come here.
I know you've been trying to convince me. I feel like if I would come to Green Rivers or go to Delaware or go to Kansas, I still would find it home because I know I have a community that I can fall back on because of the Susie program. And that's like the coolest thing in the world to just know that, because you did this program, there's a high possibility you can bump into a sister. There's a high possibility the facilitators, the professors would remember you. So it's like, yeah, I will consider since we were having what my next steps are right now as ACCA and with my education. So yeah, I might consider.
Well,
The
if you do come to the
hype.
US for your next phase of your education, you should definitely take a trip to the West Coast and come to Seattle and visit Green River. You would be so welcome here. It would be so exciting. I would love to show you around.
I will. I'm definitely going to be the most, I will travel the most. I will have fun. If I don't go back to Kansas, I will probably travel to Kansas just to visit, say hi. And yeah, I'll just probably have a blast in America. I really can't wait.
That's a big country. There's a lot to see. So
It's a, it's a,
you
yeah,
have to
it's a
come.
lot to see. So since we're having a conversation about SUSE, I'd just like you to elaborate more what the SUSE program is about.
So the program, SUSE program, SUSE stands for Study of the US Institute, and it is a State Department funded program here in the US. It's under the umbrella of the Fulbright program. I think a lot of people are more familiar with the Fulbright name. And then our program, the one that you came on, we were newly renamed last summer for Madeleine Albright as the Madeleine K. Albright Young Women Leaders Program, which is really a special thing to hold her name. She was our first female Secretary of State here in the US, a really dynamic leader. And I think that it's a real honor for the program to hold her name, and it speaks to our goals of what we're trying to teach our participants about while they're here. Each of the programs, there's four in our consortium. Mine at Green River College, we focus on the environment. So in our program here specifically, we have classroom studies about US culture and history, about gender studies, and about public speaking and grant writing. And then we also have coursework and field trips that focus on environmental studies. And all of this is under the lens of what does it mean to be a female leader? And being a leader, you can define it as you like. It doesn't just mean I'm running for president. It could also mean being a leader in your family or in your community. However you want to be a leader, we're really trying to build everyone up with skills and with resources, and also just that motivation of knowing you have this SUSE team behind you to return to your home country and start projects and programs that support women in your country. And then, of course, at Green River, we also like to see projects that support the environment. And so each of those other three programs, the one at University of Delaware and University of Kansas and at St. Mary's in Indiana, they each have a different theme that they're focusing on. I think for Green River, having that environmental focus is so perfect because here in the Seattle area, we have amazing environments right at our feet. I mean, we are right by the ocean, but also by the mountains. We take our women on these really cool field trips to see the mountains and different ecosystems, but also our environmental studies instructor. He takes us on some field trips in the city of Seattle. We visit a place called the Duwamish River, and the Duwamish River flows out right through the port of Seattle, which is a huge port full of cranes and industry. But it was really very polluted previously. And then through a combination of government effort and community effort, they've really been cleaning up that river. So it tells a story to our participants about what it means to have real impact in your local community. And so I think when I don't know if I'm answering your question the right way, but
You're okay.
when I think about my SUSE participants and what I want them to leave the program thinking about is how can I take what I've seen and what I've learned and experienced in my 5 weeks in the US? How can I take all of that back to my home country and apply it and have a positive impact? So I don't know, all these things circle around in my head as I'm working on this program and kind of my dream for them and what I want them to think about and how I want them to feel about their time here. And I really want them to take it back to their home country and have positive impacts.
That's so nice. I
Yeah.
just want to mention that Green River is such a beautiful campus. It's not so big. It's just so intimate. Like, I liked how green, I guess why the site's called Green River. Like, it's so green, the nature. I'm a nature person, so it was so hard. At Kansas, we had you really had to walk a distance to find a place you'd like, find your peace and quiet and there's nature. So I like that Green Rivers really just has that element to it, the nature, the environment. It should be like one of the campuses. I was like, oh, I'm so jealous, I'm not going there. Because you got to show us the campuses all together. And I'm like, oh,
It's
we're not going there.
really Green River College. We have a pretty big campus, but all of the buildings are kind of clustered together in a central area. And then all around campus is the forest. And there's trails, and you can go see Mount Rainier just rising above the forest if you go to the lookout place. It's really very beautiful. And we see the changing of the seasons, and you can always go out walking on the trails, and there's people out there, and there's wildlife, and it really is very beautiful. And I think unexpected, because usually you go to a college campus, you wouldn't see that just right there out your door. So it is a lovely campus.
You are selling Green River so well that I am considering it. I mean, if it's not for school, just to visit and just to experience, because it's really like one of my favorites so far compared to the four. Like, I love KU. KU was fun, but yeah, I like the nature element and the trails because I'm a hiker. So it's like, I'm a nature person. I want to
Well,
experience.
yeah, I think Pacific Northwest, it's for people who love the outdoors because we
Yeah.
have snow and mountains, but we also have the sea and we have woods, everything. Yeah.
That's so nice. I'm so tempted. So
And we don't
every
have dangerous things like snakes. So
you do have snakes? I hate snakes.
no,
Oh
we have small ones, but they don't hurt you. They're harmless.
yeah. A snake is a snake.
We have bears though. You might just see a bear.
I'm still coming, but
Okay.
thanks for
There are no
highlighting.
bears on campus that I know of, so you're fine if you're here.
So I would say one of the things I love about you and kind of jealous is every summer you get to experience over 80 different young women from, I think, 24 countries. Yeah, if I'm not wrong, from 24 countries at once for a week. Then I know it changed after COVID, but yeah, for a week, then you have them dispersed at different institute. Like, how does that feel?
Well, I'll say last summer was my first time to go to the Washington, D.C. portion of the program. Previously, I was always here, and I just attended a little bit of the program. And then for several years, the DC portion was canceled due to COVID. So last year was the first time in several years that it even happened. So I was really stoked to go and have that experience. And that first week was so intensive. Everything from that first day where the staff, we were going back and forth to the airport, 8 times in a day to greet everyone and bring them back to the hotel. And from, 6 a.m. through past midnight, we were going back and forth, and we had those signs, welcoming everyone
Yeah.
who came out and, hugging everyone. And I just remember seeing everyone's faces as you were coming out of customs. And we had those signs, and people were asking for us. They're like, "Oh, where's Jaden? Where's Mary? Where's
Jaden. I
Megan?"
can't
Because
wait to have Jaden on the podcast. On yeah, like
you
respect,
should.
like
She did.
Jaden is everybody's favorite. Everybody
She
loves
does
Jaden.
so much. Yeah, and I just loved that everyone was so thrilled to be there and finally arrive, and that people knew our names too from presentations and from outreach and all this kind of stuff. So it was just really great to see everyone in a room together and feel that energy and excitement from all of you. But I feel like this, from the staff perspective, we were feeling it too because we hadn't had that full group meetup with all 80 participants in years and years because of COVID. So, and like I said, I hadn't been there before, but that it just hadn't happened in so long. So it was so exciting for us as well to have that time together. I also remember feeling like in that first week, I'm never going to learn everybody's name. It's just so impossible. But by the end of the 5 weeks, it's hard to imagine not knowing those women. That we all bond together really tightly. I love seeing those relationships form not only within our cohort, but across the different groups. That when we did have those group meetings, remember in the last week, we met on Zoom with everyone together a couple of times.
And
And
we're all excited.
everyone's excited, and the WhatsApp group that people are still sending messages, I've just graduated, or this happened, or I'm starting this project, and there's that constant support and positive messages that are going out for each other. I love that, and I feel like the program's impact is not just about skills, but it's about those relationships and supporting each other, which is so important.
I take you back. I'm gonna take you back to when we arrived, like the Zambian team. We got stuck in the plane for like, I think, an hour 30, and it was so cold. We're in New York, but there was cloud cover, so we couldn't take off. But they left us in the plane for like an hour, and I was so tired at that point because our waiting time was like 5 hours before we could travel to DC, and it's like now we're just tired. And then we pass through security custom or going down, get our luggage, and we see posters. I was so happy. I was like, yay, they came to pick us. I thought they would forget. And Jaden emailed us. She texted us on Instagram. She texted on WhatsApp to say, guys, don't worry. We can't locate you because we're tracking you, but it's saying that your flight has left, but we're tracking you. We can't see you. Don't worry. We're waiting for you. I'm just like, oh, damn. We love Jaden. I love
We should
Jaden
have you should have a part of your podcast every episode where we talk about how much you love Jaden.
Jaden knows this. Do you realize that every single time any participant would always go back to say, where's Jaden? I arrived and I was like, okay, fine. Hi, everybody. Where is Jaden? Because Jaden solved most of my challenges at any given point. So give me some Jaden. Okay, yes, I move on. I will tell her that I have a whole 2 minutes just saying how much I love you.
I think she would love to know that. You should
Should know.
always tell people when you admire them and appreciate their work.
So what was your favorite visit? I know we did a lot of stuff in DC together. So what was your favorite?
My favorite thing in DC.
Yes, our favorite activity, visit, yeah.
I'm going to say two different things. One was the day at Georgetown University,
Yes.
where we gave everyone those pins. And I loved that moment where we showed the video about the pins. And then Alicia was standing next to the table that all the pins were on, but it was covered up.
Yeah.
And she pulled the cover off the table, and this moment of everyone's excitement of realizing that you were all getting
We
what
all
you
get a
were.
pin.
Yes, it was such a moment of happiness and joy and excitement and feeling like you are part of a new thing, a new tradition that we're carrying forward, and that those pins will be a through line for everyone in the Albright program, that you all share as a symbol of your time here and of your work going forward of shattering that glass ceiling. So I loved that particular moment. I mean, the day was great, right? The panels, the speakers, all of that was wonderful, but that particular moment was just goosebumps. It was a great moment in time. And then another thing I love that happened, and this is unrelated to the program really, but the day that we went to the Capitol building and then we went to the Smithsonian's, we had kind of free time on the mall, and
Oh,
I was
yeah.
it was really funny because I went in the Natural History Museum and I was just sort of wandering around by myself, and I ran into one of the participants from Uganda, and I'm so sorry, I don't remember her name. But I was walking with her, and we were in the part that was about the ocean. And I grew up right next to Puget Sound, right by the ocean. And my whole life, I've lived near the ocean. And so for me, it wasn't full of new stuff I had never seen before. But she was so excited to see these displays about these little ocean creatures. And then right at that same moment, I got this text message from my husband that he had taken our son to the beach that day here. And there was a picture of my son holding this giant crab in his hand on the beach here, right as we were looking at this display about crabs in the Smithsonian, when I'm with someone who's like, I have never seen animals like this before, that's so weird. And I was like, oh my gosh, look, here's a picture of my 11-year-old son holding a giant crab right at that exact moment. And she was just blown away by that because in her life, of course, she'd never had that experience of being by the ocean. But then minutes later, we were walking through, there was a display about African animals. And I was like, wow, look at all these amazing animals. And she was like, oh yeah, whatever, those live near me. And it was like we were both having the same experience where the thing I was so amazed about was the thing from her country. And the thing she was so amazed about was something that I felt like was an everyday occurrence, like seeing these little ocean creatures. And it was, I love about this program and other kinds of cultural exchange programs is those kinds of moments where you each connect with each other in surprise over something where maybe something I find is ordinary, but you find as interesting or amazing or extraordinary, and vice versa. Because I feel like sometimes when you go abroad anywhere, you have a certain expectation, but the thing that's most surprising and fun is sometimes just going to a supermarket and seeing that they sell different kinds of foods.
You guys have so many chocolates. I don't have that in Zambia. You have so much candy,
Yes.
different candy. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I think that's great. I mean, I lived in China for a while and I used to send care packages home of they would sell popcorn there, like microwave popcorn, and all these kinds of flavors that we don't have here in the US. And I would send them, but I wouldn't tell people what the flavors were because it was written in Chinese, so they didn't know. And I'd be like, you have to try this. And it's such a fun way to kind of experience a different culture where it's like, here's something the same. Like, we all like this snack food, right? But the one from there tastes completely different and in an unexpected way. So, those kind of little moments, I love that about working with international students that they're experiencing something in my country for the first time. And they're sharing with me why that's interesting and different. And then in that museum, me being excited about seeing something that they felt like was ordinary or everyday. So I think that the program, it's not just for you to learn those skills, but it's also to make those connections and have those sort of special moments where you connect over your differences. But also, like you were saying, that we connected, you and I, in our group roundtable, where we were talking about women's issues, and everyone at our table was from a different country. And we found commonalities and we found a chance to support each other. at that table. And it didn't matter that we were from different continents and different countries and different cultures. We all shared something. So I think at the heart of it, that's the most important thing is making those connections. So I think those two moments in DC, that giving away the pins, I just this picture in my head of Alicia pulling that cover off the table. And then that moment in the museum where I received that photo right as we were looking at that display about sea creatures was a really sweet moment.
It felt good to just relive those moments with you because I was there. It's so cool to say out loud. And every time I'm having the passport series with participants, we have like a different perspective of what our favorite moments were. But now to see that I've had conversations, and those are not like the girls' favorite moments most of the time. But now I get to relive the fact that I was at Georgetown University. And for other universities I visited, like I went to Missouri, we're at KU. Georgetown was like the highlight to just say, I saw this in the movie and I'm here. Kind of made me feel like my dreams came true. Or like I'm like living what I always said I'd like to live. Like this is what I said I'd do and I'm doing it. And one thing I liked about our day out after the Capitol was the fact that we're all wearing t-shirts and then it was like one of, I was like, that's the smartest thing you guys would have done because how are you going to know we are your girls? So we're all in one area, but if you see the t-shirt, then you're safe. So it's a big space, but it meant you can wander, but meet one of the SUSE facilitators, professor, or just the girls. So I like that setup to just say, hey, and it's only you guys who know to say, oh, we're here. My favorite moment in DC is the monument, the night visit. That
Oh
was so
yes,
fun. That
that
was
was a
fun.
beautiful day. I had not been out to the monuments at night before, and I thought that was really cool. What about that evening? Did you like some?
The history. I think if it was just during the day, it would have felt ordinary, but we did it in the night, the lights, the history. Walking through the path, learning more about America, the soldiers that were fallen, the soldiers that fell, or the fallen soldiers, if that's the right term, and just connecting with my fellow participants. I like connected with so many people at different points, but that just felt so good. It felt so good to just, because I was tired, I'm introverted. So I was stretching so much because DC was so intense and we all had to be on schedule. So it's such a stretch. But yeah, just that moment. It's like on my Instagram, I think that's one of my first posts. Because the monument was so amazing. Yeah. I'll go back again to
There's a
that.
lot. There's always more to see in Washington, D.C.
So, talking about how you work with international students, and this is just not with the SUSE program, for you, you're also a career international advisor. Such a fancy word. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
About my career.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say most of my career I've been working in international education in some way. And I didn't do it on purpose. I don't know. I didn't set out when I was graduating from college thinking I want to work in international education. But before I went to college, I had never traveled anywhere. And then I had two opportunities to study abroad as an undergraduate student. And those were really eye-opening experiences for me. And I think that for a lot of people, the experience is similar, that the first time that you leave your home country and have that experience of maybe not understanding the language or understanding what's going on, that sort of you've lost your moorings a bit and you have to find your way. That challenge for anyone can be life-changing. So it really shifted my perspective on who I was and how I fit into the world and how I felt about my own country. So I wanted to go abroad after I graduated somehow, and I wasn't really sure how I could do that. And I applied to go teach English in China. And I didn't know really anything about China when I applied for that program. And I, in my final term in college, took a class about Chinese history to just kind of maybe learn something about this country I had just signed up to go to for 2 years. And so I went to China and I was an English teacher in a small town for 2 years. And then I moved to Beijing for another 2.5 years and worked at a big university there. I loved those years in China. It was a really exciting and fun time to be in China. There were a lot of changes going on, and this was 2000 to 2004. And then I came back to the US and went to graduate school, and I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. I got a job in business management consulting, and I don't know. I didn't really like that job. I didn't actively dislike it, but it wasn't the right work for me. I learned a lot working in business, but I also realized that that's not really what I wanted to do. And I was also, at the same time, I was on the board of a young professionals organization here in Seattle called the Young Professionals International Network. And we planned events in the Seattle area that focused on international affairs. And that included like panel events and networking events and dinners and language groups, all kinds of things. And I loved what I was doing with that group. And I kept thinking, what can I do? How can I do this professionally? Right? Like that was all volunteer work. And when my son was born, I stopped working and my husband was a professor, and he would often take students on study abroad trips. And when I stopped working, it was because he had a number of travel opportunities coming up, and we could all, our little family, go together and do this travel. So I went along with him on some study abroad programs in Southeast Asia, and on a faculty exchange program in Germany. And it was really a chance for me to reflect on what I wanted to do next in my career. And I thought, how can I get back into international education? So I started working at Green River in 2016 as an advisor. So in advising, we do kind of two different things. One is academic advising, like helping students with their education plans and with their university transfer. And then also with immigration things, we have to keep track and make sure everyone's following the rules, that kind of thing. I think I. So your question was really about how I was inspired to do this career. I think I kind of stumbled into it. I never really had a mentor or someone helping me make that decision. I just felt like it was something that I enjoyed doing. I love coming to work every day. And that's not to say that every moment of my work is exciting and fun. There's always some part of every job that's kind of mundane or boring. But I feel also like my work is having an impact, that working with students, working with college students, especially. I love kind of launching them into their adulthood and seeing how they change over their years here and how they grow and how they make choices and how they learn to make decisions for themselves that will affect their future, in ways that in those years when I was working in business or doing other jobs that I didn't feel like I was having that sort of impact. So I found that it's important for me that my work is a reflection of my values, and that I'm seeing that my participation in my professional work is having a positive impact in the world.
That's so broad, and very narrow as well. I was trying to like, think for it nice, like I was trying to connect my thoughts and just, I like how, and this is like in the Western world, right? You can actually try out different stuff. before you decide on what you want to do. So you can go to China, stay there for 4 years. You can try going into the business industry and see if it's for you or not. You can take a break if you can and explore different other areas of your life just to see if you can actually just marry it in some way, and then you stumble into this career you actually enjoy. Isn't that interesting? It's like we don't have it. Mostly we don't have that in Zambia. It's if I, so I'm an accounting graduate now. So I'm an, I don't know if I'm an accountant, but I'm an accounting graduate. So the expectance is go work or go intern for an accounting firm somewhere so you can get the experience, right? And yeah, build your career in that way. It's either you go public sector or private sector, whichever, but somehow figure it out and move on. And I'm more like you. I have these conversations in my house where I'm like, you should do this. I'm like, no, I would find that boring. I should probably explore. I do not know. I know I'm an entrepreneur, so I'll just explore and see how that goes because I'm set on one thing, being an entrepreneur. So it's kind of nice to see the different cultures play because it's really just different, to be honest.
Also, in the US, when you are an undergraduate student, you end up having to take a lot of classes that are outside of your major. We call them general education requirements. Like everyone has to take a math class, and everyone has to take social science and humanities and things like that. So there's this expectation that that time is also about exploration and about learning things outside of what's going to be your expertise. And I see a lot of international students when they come here are surprised about that. Like someone who's an art and design major will say, why do I have to take a math class? Or if my computer science student says, why do I have to take an art class? I'm like, well, that's just the way it is. That's the kind of philosophy of international education or of higher education in the US is about exploring all of these different avenues. Whereas in many countries, I think if you're an undergraduate, pretty much every class you take is in your department. So there's an expectation that that time is about exploration and that maybe you don't quite know what you want when you start. And that within the first year and a half or so, you should have figured that out. And so you have an opportunity to sort of try those different things.
So I'm actually trying to think about, I'm trying to think of the right term to use when we talk about, oh, the curriculum. Yes. So I've always had a problem with my curriculum because it felt like I'm going this narrow way and this is the end result because I chose to do this, right? There's no avenue of exploring. And I had to find that somehow. I had to volunteer. I had to work with different individuals in different industries. I had to do the CISU program too, just to explore and see what I like. It's like I do different stuff all the time to leave me with the option, because I'm pretty young to have it all figured out. So, but leaving me with an option to explore. So that's where the big difference is. And my friend Elizabeth is a graduate now in leadership. And I'm like, you guys get to do a leadership, a degree in leadership? We don't have that in Zambia. I'm also jealous. I'm like, you guys all have these options and we don't. Yeah, so I actually admire how in the US you there's so much openness to exploring. So there's also so much, that's why there's so much creativity and innovation going on. Because you're just not told to go one way. There's the fact that it's okay to change your mind kind of mentality. And that's one thing I love about the place compared to Zambia anyway.
Well, you don't want to wait too long to make up your mind about what you want to do. It'll take you longer to finish. So, yeah, I agree. I think that this style of higher education does allow for exploration in ways that perhaps other models don't. And I like that because when I started out in college, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And I think a lot of people, when they're 18 and going away to college, they don't really know what they want, and you can't quite expect them to either. That's so young.
So yeah, and that's a high expectation. I'm not saying people should take long to decide on what they're doing. I just think that people should be given the option to explore. Culture-wise as well, our culture doesn't open up so much room for exploration. So you should be exposed to a lot of stuff for you to think it's okay to explore. Because if you're exploring, it means you're an outlier, right? And everybody's going to have a problem with you. Like, everybody had a problem with my thinking, my way of doing stuff, my questioning of everything. Because I'm like, why does it have to be that way? Because it has to be that way. And I'm like, no, it doesn't have to always be that way. So that's why I think I love the exploring part. Because if I didn't have grandparents that let me explore, I probably wouldn't have even met you. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Well, that's I love hearing that you say, okay, my grandparents let me explore, that you had some adults in your life who were encouraging you to ask those questions and to figure things out. And that's really important for children, I think, to be able to try some different things. And I love that about our SUSE participants, is they're always asking big questions and they're always speaking up. When I am recruiting guest speakers to come for our program, I always tell them, you have to imagine that it's a classroom full of your very best student, and they're going to ask you so many questions and they're going to want so many resources that you're never going to get through whatever you've planned to talk to them about. It doesn't that, and I invite academics sometimes from other universities to come and talk, and I said, just imagine, whatever you have planned for class that day, you're not gonna have time for it, because they're gonna ask you all the questions. There'll never be that moment where, when you ask, sometimes when you're teaching and you ask the class a question and it's just silence, like nobody answers. And that's the worst when you're teaching, because then you think, oh, they didn't read. They didn't read what I asked them to read, or they didn't do the homework, or they just don't know what to say about it. There's never that moment. There's always someone in that room who has something to say about it, and then someone else in that room who completely disagrees with them, and you have this great discussion debate, and it doesn't matter. There's always discussion. So that's, I think, the SUSE groups as a whole that I've seen come through Green River, it's always like that. Everyone is just so engaged, and it's such a thrilling moment as an educator to have a classroom like that.
No, I think it's everywhere because we had our moments. And one thing I love about, I would say, SUSE as a whole, there's room for disagreement. It's like, I just disagree with what you're saying. It doesn't mean I have a problem with you as an individual. I just want to keep my brain on what you're saying so that I can get to the root cause of it. Dr. Mary always talked about what's the why? Why are you doing this? And Bella, one of our Susie sisters would say, I'll just want to be the devil's advocate and ask all the hard questions and ask all the annoying questions we're all thinking about, and no one wants to ask Professor Mary or Alicia. So it's like, oh, yay. So I really like that about it. Like, I like how that's just, I think it's everywhere and all institutes that I love about it. So I am curious to know, how was the transition from being home to going back to work for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Nobody ever asked me that. I think a lot of women go through this. I started working again. I did a little bit of freelance work when my son was very small, and then when he started school full time, I started working part time, and I really was very happy to go back to work and have a new, different thing. I feel like when I was a stay-at-home mom, I had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was a good time. I love hanging out with my kid. He's my favorite person. And I know some people say I could never do that. It would be boring, or it's too hard, or whatever. And I had a lot of fun. We did a ton of cool stuff together, and he and I have a really close relationship. But going back to work was very, I think, gratifying is the right word. I think when you're a stay-at-home mom, people don't see you as anything else. And that's something that was hard for me. For example, like my husband's an academic, and if we would go to some social events and most of the other people there are academics, and we would just be chatting and they would say, "Oh, what do you do?" Which is the really common question here. And I'd say, "Oh, I'm a stay-at-home mom." And then the conversation would just end and they'd be like, "Oh, okay." And then it didn't care to find out anything else about me as a person, and they'd be like, "Oh, that's great," and then just go get a drink and didn't want to chat. So I feel like that was hard for me, the realization that, oh, a lot of people, they'll give lip service to it and say, "Oh, it's the most important job is being a mom," and then in reality they don't feel that way or didn't want to try to relate to why someone would make those choices. But I loved it. I had a super fun time being a stay-at-home mom. And I coming back to work, it was like parts of my brain were turning back on again. Like things I hadn't had to do in a long time, skills were coming back to me. And so I just had a lot of fun coming back to work. And I started out part-time, which was nice. I could still, drop off and pick up from school and stuff like that. And then it was also a bit of a career shift at the time. So it was stepping back a little bit and starting in a more of an entry position to learn a bunch of new stuff. And I think being hired at Green River was really lucky because it's one of the best international programs in the country. And I got to learn from some great people and try a bunch of different things. I think in our office here, there's a real kind of entrepreneurial spirit where if someone has an idea like, "Hey, we could do this program, I think it would be really great for students or have this event or something," that the attitude in this office is like, "Great, let's try it and see if it works." And I really like that if someone has an idea that people are listening to it and trying it out and trying to make it happen. So I feel lucky in that this is where I came after that time. Because my son was in kindergarten, I wasn't leaving a baby in a daycare or something like that. And I hear from other mom friends that that can be harder because your baby can't tell you about what they did that day, but your kindergartner can. So I think coming back to work after staying at home was really great for me, and it was the right moment for my child and for me to do that. But I did have a lot of fun being a stay-at-home mom, and like I said, we were traveling a lot, which has its own different challenges. But it was really cool that we were able to do that as a family. And if I was working, we wouldn't have been able to do that. So.
That's so interesting and a different perspective and a lot of things to highlight. Like you said, people would say motherhood is the most important thing. Then such a double standard that when you decide to do something that you think is good for you and your family, they don't appreciate it or they're not so supportive because they're wondering, why would you choose to do that? So it's just important and like it's important that you actually highlight it to say, people say stuff, and what they actually mean is a total different thing. So yeah, I think I something I needed to hear from somebody older.
I mean, I think in the US, there's not a lot of support for parents. Like, we don't have a good maternity leave policy, for example, where parents can take time off after the birth of a child and for the mother to recover and for bonding and caring for a baby, that we just don't have that. And it's terrible. So There's lots of reasons why people stop working when they have a baby. Really high childcare costs is another one. So there's just a lot of reasons behind it. And I think until I was in that position of, like I said, people stopping the conversation because they didn't feel like they had anything in common anymore. That now when I meet women, I try to kind of figure out who they are beyond that. That like I'm not just a mom, and no one's just a mom. They're also a human who has wants and needs and thoughts. And we don't ever want to reduce someone to just one piece of their life.
I think if anyone ever takes away anything in this conversation, I hope they take away that people are not just what they become later on. They also have their own desires, wants, thoughts. And yeah, they might want to talk about that. It's an important highlight. Part of me
And I
wants to
think, I mean, I don't know, being a mom is really super important. Like, I want to be a good mom, right? Like, I want so many things for my child and his life and his future. And but I have other things too. So
That's so interesting. I have a question. What's your favorite highlight working at Green Rivers?
so many things. I think I love working on the SUSE program, and I'll say the thing that makes my work on SUSE unique is that it's something I'm working on all year long, and then there's a big thing that happens, right? Everyone shows up, we do all this big stuff, and then they all leave, and we all breathe a sigh of relief that it's over.
Yeah.
And I love the kind of build up. And then having a big thing. For me, that's exciting. And then, but more on the day-to-day of my highlights here, I would say working with the students from around the world, that there's always something interesting or funny or challenging. There's always something happening. And I think the students are the highlights. And I'm sure that anyone in this office, if you ask them, they would say the same thing, that I do, some boring administrative things, but then I also spend a lot of time just talking to students, that as an advisor, I'm supposed to be helping them make the right choices, make the right plans, and I love working through them on those things. And sometimes students have big challenges, right? There's something going on in their home country and they're worried about their family, or there's they have other challenges, like a health challenge, or they're really struggling in a class. And I like that I can see them through problems and see the outcome. I like having relationships with them where I know who they are and they know they can rely on me for help. So I think, and it's always, there's always new students every term. We get more new students and other ones who are here. So we see them through this whole cycle of sometimes I meet them on Zoom before they arrive for placements, and then I see them at orientation, and I see them in their classes, and then they graduate and they transfer, and then sometimes they'll write back, years later and say, "I'm graduating from such and such university, and I remember our time at Green River," and I love hearing them, hearing back from them and their reflections on their time here, because for most of them, this is their introduction to the U.S. is starting at Green River. And most of our students who come here stay in the US at least 4 years because they're here to get their bachelor's degree. So that we are the first point of contact, I think, is really exciting and fun. And sometimes I try to imagine as I'm driving to work or something, if it's orientation day, and I think, okay, for a lot of our students, they just arrived, they got off the plane yesterday, and this is their first glimpse of our country. And what do they see when they look at it? What are they noticing? Or what do they think is interesting or surprising? Or what do they think looks just like in the movies? Something I hear so much of people say, "Oh, it's just like in the movies." And I love hearing that. I think it's so funny because we in the US, export a lot of entertainment. Which is not an entirely accurate portrayal of life here, that but the kind of like but I did the same thing in DC. Oh my gosh, when we got on the plane to leave DC, we flew and out of my window I could see the Pentagon, and I took a photo of it out my airplane window because I thought this is something I've seen 1,000 times in a movie, but never in real life, and there it is right outside my window. So I did it too. I'm right there with you.
I think for me, it was a lot of stuff we did as participants. And I'm like, when they say Americans make weird choices, I see why you do it. Let's do it together. Because American participants would always have the wildest ideas of stuff or activities we should do together. And I'm like,
Like what?
I would never do that in my country.
What sort of things did you do with them?
Which one can I broadcast? I'm thinking. Okay, one of the weirdest one was we were getting into the arch in St. Louis,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Yeah. That was so tiny. Like the way to the arch was like, we're getting into that small thing, the four of us, and you guys don't think we'd get stuck at all? I wanted to say no, but the guys already paid for me and they're like, we're getting in a car. Move, move, move. And that's And we got in, and I was just like, you know, it's so pretty, but I was so scared, just the process of going up and down. Yeah, that's like one I can say out loud. But yeah, it's like we had a lot of, let's do this. This would be crazy, but hope they don't find out because we're all in trouble.
That's so funny because the arch is, I think, the main tourist attraction in that city. I've never been there, but I think it's the only thing that the arch, I think, is it's the biggest tourist attraction there. So probably thousands of people do that every day.
Imagine. And I was like, okay, I guess it's relatively safe. So Beth, I'm studying a new closing tradition, and that is for you to ask me a question. Yeah, you can ask me a question.
Are you ready for my question?
Not really,
You told me to prepare a question, and this is in the spirit of how I like to ask questions. I have a two-part question. Yes, two parts. And it is, what skill did you learn on the Albright Young Women Leaders Program last year that you've used the most in this 10 months since you were here? And then the second part is, if you could go back in time and talk to yourself at this time last year, what would you tell yourself about, what should you pay more attention to, or how would you prepare yourself for that experience?
Oof, that's so deep. I would say one skill I learned was so hard, but one thing I keep reminding myself is meet people where they are, not where you think they should be. I think Dr. Alicia always says that, and would always say that to me. Don't expect people to be at the same level as you. You need to step back and take people with you because not everybody has the same. I have gotten more, like, have shown people more grace, I would say, for lack of better terms, because then you're just like, I'm talking to somebody and we're me like, there's so much miscommunication. And I'm like, well, probably because I have so much information and they don't. What do I need to do for them to meet me where I'm at? Or how do I go back and meet them where they're at? And how do we come to a consensus? Where do we all compromise? How do I break it down for everybody? I like to break it down for people these days. It doesn't matter what conversation I'm having with who, I would state to say, this is where I'm at as Aka, and this is probably how you're making me feel. And these are my steps. Where are you at? And how am I making you feel? And so that we have a clear picture. Because sometimes you think, and this is mostly on my communication, You think sometimes people just don't get it, but maybe people don't get it because they don't know what you're talking about, or you're looking at life differently. And this was because after America, I was different. A lot of things are not making sense. I chose that a lot of things will not be normal in my life. I was just like, no, you people can't say that's okay. You people can't say that's normal. And I was more vocal. I was more assertive. And I was communicating clearly on what I wanted. But then I also had a lot of moments where I had to step back to say, people don't understand you because they're not where you're at. So you also have to understand where they're at and how they're thinking and what has brought about that whole situation and how can you do better? How can you help? And I think I had the, it was so challenging, to be honest, to meet people where they're at. It's easier said than done, especially at home. I think differently. I do stuff differently now. And I'm more vocal. It's an African household. They expect you to jump when they tell you to jump. And I'm just like, I'm not jumping. It's cold. It's hot. I'm going to sleep. At school, I was questioning a lot of stuff. I wasn't okay with a lot of the restrictions that were brought about. And yeah, so just having, remembering those conversations. And Dr. Alicia and I always have a keyword, paper on Thursday. So sometimes if I'm low, I'll take a picture in a purple jersey or me wearing purple. She says purple on Thursday, and I'm like, purple on Thursday. So yeah, I think that's something that I can't wait to have on the podcast when she's available. But that's something I have taken with me. And the other one I'd say, just add on, is the balcony analogy. Dr. Mary always liked saying that. Remove yourself from a situation, go on the balcony, and just look at it as a third party. You would probably have a better understanding of what's going on because there's what you think is going on, and the other person, there's something they think is going on, and there's the real issue. So it's like you want to go on the balcony to just have a better understanding of what the real issue is. Yeah. For the second question, I would say it will work out eventually. I was so stressed this time around because we had orientation. I had my finals coming up. I lost my grandfather this time around. So we had to try. I knew I had to travel. And my mom relocated to Ghana earlier that year for school. So it meant I had different dynamics at home as well. I had different dynamics at school. I had different requirements when it comes to the associate program, the things we did, everything had to be on schedule. You need to get your visa, you need to get this, you need to make a travel list. I had these different lists of stuff I needed to do, and I didn't even have help from anybody. I had to figure it out. So I would probably say, give yourself a little bit of more grace. You're doing great. I'm the type of person that thinks I always have to be at my best. So yeah, I think she just needed to step back and maybe plan to have more fun in the US. I do regret that I was lost in my thoughts most of the time there, especially in DC. I was tired, jet lagged, and we still had to show up. I feel like she would have done better than showing up. I did make really good connections. I did stay true to myself and showed a little more grace to everybody. But yeah, now I'm always telling myself to plan to have more fun. Like, yeah, have fun. Everything else.
One of our faculty, Dr. Ellie Parviz, she always tells our participants, and I really love this. She said, "You know that voice that you use when your friend is having trouble and you're trying to help your best friend with their problem?" She said, "You need to speak to yourself in that same voice. That you need to give yourself grace and space and understanding that you need to use a voice of kindness with yourself." And I love that. that, it's true. We are harder on ourselves than on our best friend. So give yourself that space, Aka. Don't.
I try. I think with South Africa, I was just like, I'm gonna have fun, fun, fun. A lot of things did turn upside down, and that was out of my control, but I did have fun. Yeah, I did have a lot of fun. I did make really good connections with a few people that I'm still in touch with. I was actually just talking to one of my friends before this call. So yeah, it's more you kind of learn as you go, but I wouldn't take back those moments. And yeah, I would say to close my session of questions, I would say I don't know, I kept telling all of you, the facilitators and professors, to say one thing the SUSE program does right, I guess, is putting 80 kind women in one room. That's hard. Because if you had a bad day in DC, somebody would be nice to you. If you chose, because I'm the type to want to sit alone and have my breakfast because I want to meditate on my food. But somebody will come and sit with you, talk to you, run you through something, laugh about, want to learn more about your culture, your country. So yeah, even if you were going through a rough patch, the fact that the 79 other women were amazing and kind and giving grace, it's something the SUSE program is also like doing great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, more than the skills and things like that, which are important, but the softer side, those connections and the friendships and the relationships are equally important. We have to support each other as women around the world.
Have to admit, those are good questions.
I have to ask a really good question. It's my only assignment, isn't it? And also, I mean, this is with in mind that we have the next program starting in just a few weeks, and they've already had the group orientation, and then we'll have an orientation with just our cohort in a couple of weeks. And what do I need to tell them? How do I prepare them in the best way possible?
I thought that would be
Yeah,
released
not.
during the cohort, like during the program. Yeah. Then you can share and they can maybe listen to it before they're in too deep and they can learn a few stuff that they can improve on during the cohort and just have a lot of fun, to be honest.
Because we always give a survey of our participants and ask them all kinds of questions about the program because we're always trying to see what we can do better. And they always say, we want more resources, we want more speakers, more field trips, more, more, more. And then they say, and more free time.
Yeah, I agree on the free time.
Impossible. It's so impossible to do all of it, but we'll do everything we can.
Well, thank you so much. So the last question is, what do you look forward to? In
In regards to Susie or just in general?
general, as Beth Carter, what do you look forward to?
Oh my gosh, I look forward to, on a small scale, I look forward to spending time with my family. I look forward to summertime. And Washington State, it famously rains a lot, which is 100% true, but the summers are gorgeous. So I'm looking forward to summer is just getting started. I'm looking forward to that happening. I'm looking forward to Susie happening in the summer. And I think I'm generally an optimistic person. So I'm always like, whatever's the next thing, that's what I'm looking forward to. So I think that the biggest things happening right now for me professionally are in regards to getting our 2024 Susie launched into the world. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for the 2024 Susie Girls Only Women to just experience what such an amazing program. When they say that, what did Dr. Mary say? Look at the people around you and just take it in because these are your sisters for life. I know, like, She meant every word. And yeah, the 5 weeks would definitely change their life.
Yeah, it goes so quickly. I mean, 5 weeks at the beginning, it seems like
So long.
you'll be there for so long. And then when you hit that halfway point and it's like, oh, it's almost over. Yeah.
And the halfway point is actually fun. Then it gets fun. Then you understand everything. And you're like, yeah, I don't really have to worry about class like that. I have no exam, so I'm okay. So, Beth, thank you so much for just making the time for us to have this conversation. You've inspired me to explore more in different avenues. Even if I have my mindset on something, it's okay to explore and have different experiences in culture, the world, travel more. This is what this conversation has done for me. Now I have to just go back on my list and say, oh, I have to go to Green Rivers one way or another. It's not
Well,
decided, but
I appreciate so much your inviting me to come talk with you. I have really enjoyed even our conversations before we started recording about your next plans and what's going on in your life. I love seeing what you're up to on social media. It's really wonderful to see you graduating and thinking about next steps, and knowing that our program had that impact on you is really gratifying for me. So I appreciate your time so much.
Thank you. So, guys, this is the end of the episode today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you share this to a friend and a friend. I hope you can actually please subscribe and share it again. But yeah, this is the Diary 101 podcast, and thank you.